A reading from Romans. Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey to their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our annual vacation Bible school was awesome. Thanks to Kristen Freeman, our fearless leader, and an army of youth and adult heroes, we had, as you heard, 100 children gather to learn about God's love. Most of them, about 70%, weren't members of this congregation, and many of those weren't members of any congregation. And some of them might have never even heard that God loves them if we didn't do this important mission work in this community. Our vacation Bible school theme was Hero Central, and everyone took this hero pledge: "I will have heart. I will have courage. I will have wisdom. I will have hope. I will have power. I am God's hero." As I was thinking about our brief gospel reading this morning, I realized that we might know some of God's heroes by other titles: disciples or apostles. Today's reading was the very end of Jesus' instructions to his disciples, apostles, for their mission. He started by telling them to proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near, and to cure the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons, to have heart. He told them that mission work might be scary, they might be persecuted. He told them to have no fear, to have courage. He told them that they would be like sheep in the midst of wolves, so to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, to have wisdom. He told them that those who endure to the end will be saved, to have hope. He told them not to worry about what they would say, because it wouldn't be them speaking, but the Spirit of God, to have power. They may not have said it, but as they accepted Jesus' mission and went out, they were living out the hero pledge. I will have heart, I will have courage, I will have wisdom, I will have hope, I will have power. I am God's hero. Vacation Bible School is a great example of how the church and its members continue the very mission that Jesus gave to those first disciples and apostles he sent out. This was an easier ministry, of course. We had the community come to us instead of going out to them. We didn't have to travel or even go outside in the heat. But here's what was so great. To serve the children, it didn't matter how good a speaker you were, or how good a musician, or how good a dancer, or how good an athlete, or how good a student. It didn't matter what you looked like, or how old you were, or what you were wearing. It only mattered that so many heroes came and did their part and got swept up in the singing and the dancing and the sharing of God's love with words and actions. As we heard on Pentecost Sunday from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. On this coming Saturday, our high school youth and their adult leaders will leave for their mission trip in Chicago. They are going out there to share God's love with strangers in a strange place, with their actions and their words. They will need heart and courage and wisdom and hope, and the power of the Holy Spirit will gift them with those gifts to be heroes. As followers of Jesus, showing the world and telling the world about God's love is our congregational mission and our individual missions. Because the mission of Christians and the church is the mission of the first disciples and apostles, is the mission of Jesus, is the mission of God. And we're called to be engaged in that mission all the time. And that can be hard. And that can be scary. And that can cause others to persecute you. And that can cause others to malign you. And that can cause others to be against you, maybe even family members. And some may welcome your mission, and some may not. Take a look at your bulletin cover. Clearly, someone is showing this child God's love by giving her a cup of cold water. We don't know anything about who the giver is, and that's as it should be. We don't enact Jesus' mission for others to praise us. It's not about that. It's about the joy on the face of that beautiful little girl who is receiving a gift. Water is a gift we probably all take too much for granted. We probably waste as much as we use every day. It's easy to forget or not pay attention to how many people around the world won't have water today. Being a follower of Jesus makes it harder to ignore the realities in the world. You even have to think about Jesus' mission when you take a shower or when you brush your teeth. Jesus' words also meant something else, however. This was the end of his instructions to his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones." This was not an occasion that Jesus put a child on his lap to teach the disciples. This was an occasion with only Jesus and his disciples in attendance. They were the little ones who would be vulnerable as they went into the world. The world wasn't how God wanted it to be. The kingdom of Rome wasn't the kingdom of God. The ways of that kingdom were not the ways of God's kingdom. Showing God's love and telling the world about God's love would be controversial, if not dangerous. It doesn't take a prophet to announce that the world, even our own country, still is not how God wants it to be. Showing God's love and telling the world about God's love is still controversial, if not dangerous. So, I'd like you to stand up. Because I'd like you to take the hero pledge. So repeat after me. I will have heart.
I will have heart.
I will have courage.
I will have courage.
I will have wisdom.
I will have wisdom.
I will have hope.
I will have hope.
I will have power.
I will have power.
I am God's hero.
I am God's hero.
You are God's heroes. Amen.